Please stay standing for the congregation prayer.
Let's pray. Most gracious and most merciful God, we confess to you and to one another that time after time, we have entered your presence with countless prayers, but with hearts that have been closed to your grace. We have lifted our hands to you in praise, but our feet have still not walked in your ways. We have rehearsed your commandments, but have refused to see your face in the needs of our neighbor. We pray, Lord, that you forgive our lack of faith and pardon our acts of injustice. Grant us the healing that comes from your presence and the cleansing of your all-powerful word through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, BAC. How are y'all doing? Awesome, awesome. So good to be here with you guys. I know it's a summer crowd today. A lot of people are camping or traveling. So I'm glad to see everyone here this morning worshiping with us. This morning we have lots going on. I seem to say that a lot lately. But this morning I'm going to call up Sivia Ho up to the stage. If you guys don't know, Sivia is going to be going to the country of Laos for the next several weeks. She's going to be going there with an organization called ELIC, and she's approached us for support, both financially as the church, and for prayer support as well. And so we're going to send her out as a church family. And this is what we want to try to do. Whenever someone from our congregation, from our church family, feels that God's calling them to be sent out in some way, and especially when they're going overseas. And so Sivia is doing that. And I'm just going to give her a couple seconds to explain what she's going to be doing and how long she's going to be going for and how we can support her in prayer.
Hi. So I'll be going to Laos this summer. I'm actually leaving this week. So I'll be there for just under 3 weeks. And the main focus there is to teach English. It's a bit of a change for me because I've only ever taught kids, but for this trip, I'll actually be teaching adults. I'll be teaching local English teachers from more rural parts of the country, and they kind of gather, and then, we teach them basic English. I don't know. That's about it, I think. Yeah. How can you pray for me? I think you can just pray for safety, like physically and mentally, and also just the opportunity to make connections with the local community and as well as my team members. I didn't know who was on the team because this organization is an American organization, so I didn't know who was on the team until like this past week when they sent out an email telling us to introduce each other. And it turns out everyone, or most people who introduce themselves, are a lot older than I am. Like they're all retired teachers. So it'll be interesting to work with them, I guess. Kind of different from what I expected. But it'll be good. Yeah, I guess you can also pray that I'll be attentive and flexible to what God has in store for me. And
awesome, awesome. We stand together and just stick out a hand as we send out Sivia and pray together. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for your call on us. Lord, we thank you first and foremost that Jesus, you are amazing, and that in your death and resurrection that we have new life, Lord, and that by your gospel we are saved, Lord. And you call us to be people who who make your present known, make present your kingdom, Lord, and to preach your gospel. And so we thank you so much, Lord, for Sivia, Lord, and how you've called her to go to Laos, Lord, for these next 3 weeks, God. And as she teaches English to English teachers there, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give her opportunities to be able to share the love of Christ, Lord, that surpasses all knowledge, Lord, to the people that she encounters. Lord, we thank you, Lord, so much for your call on Sivia and who you, in this, her journey she's been on and how you have placed her in this place, Lord, to be able to go. And, but, Lord, we pray, Lord, as she goes, that as we send her out, that God, you would protect her and keep her safe, Lord. She's going to a country that there's so many uncertainties and unknowns, Lord, and she's never been there before. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that she would constantly just lean on you and depend on you and place her trust in you, Lord, that if you are sending her there, that is where she belongs, Lord. So Lord, we pray for her that we send her out as a church, Lord, that she might be able to, that we might commit to praying for her as she journeys on her way. We pray for her in the team dynamics, Lord, as she does not yet know who exactly, as she has never met her team yet, and their team seems to be a little bit, they're different from who she is, Lord. But Lord, I pray, Lord, for her that they may be able to work well together as they minister, as they serve the people of Laos in the glory of your name, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, for her that her in her life, that she might be glorified, especially as she goes out. We thank you so much for who she is and this opportunity that she has, Lord. We pray all your blessing upon her. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks so much, Sivia. We'll just continue to lift her up in prayers for these next 3 weeks as she heads off to Laos. This morning, we have my friend Doug, who's going to be preaching the word to us this morning. Doug, I'm just going to ask Doug to come up. Pastor Doug, he's the English pastor at Lord's Love Church in Vancouver. If you guys don't know who he is, he's the guy behind the guy behind the guy. When it comes to like Pentasport, he's the guy. When it comes to the Run for H2O, which we've been promoting for a couple weeks back, or about a month ago, he's one of the guys. He's involved in so many things. I don't know how he has the time to do it. And on top of that, his wife just gave birth to a baby daughter. That's her second child. That was about a month ago?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Not even a month ago. There you go.
I've been counting 15 days.
15 days. 15 days of no sleep. 15 days of 15 hours total of sleep, basically, right? Yeah. Let's pray for him. I'm going to pray for my friend Doug as he preaches the word to us. Father God, we thank you so much for Doug. We thank you for bringing him into our midst, Lord. We thank you for the call to be a pastor on his life, Lord, and for the amazing things that he's been doing with his congregation and with his church family. And I pray, Lord, for him today that you empower him by your Holy Spirit as he preaches your word to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen him, Lord. I pray that the words that he says would be your truth, that he'll be faithful to your scripture, Lord, and as he preaches, Lord, that you would pierce our hearts and open our hearts to more of you, God. God, would your will be done in this place, and would you be glorified above all things here, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, thanks, Doug.
Right is forward?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, good morning, BAC. It's so good to be with you this morning to preach God's word and to worship together. I'm a pastor at Lord's Love Church in Vancouver. I always use the landmark. If you're in Vancouver, around Fraser and 49th, Deer Garden is our landmark. Usually as I say that, people are like, oh, I know exactly where that is. That's the landmark that we give. I know quite a few of you in different contexts and different capacities. Last year, I spoke at the youth camp, so some of the youth here I recognize, and I recognize the leaders as well, and also Pentasport and the run, and just seeing you guys throughout the city. I'm just so glad and so excited to be here, is to share God's word and to worship together with you. Pastor Keith, I've known for a little while now. We've had some good coffees together back in the day, and also Pastor Kim and Pastor Mark. So I know quite a few of your staff here at Burnaby Alliance, and you just have a great loving men and women of God, that love God and love you guys and love the church, and I'm just excited to be here and to share and to come alongside with you. Yes, I do quite a few things, but one of my highlights of this year, besides having our daughter 15 days ago, is I ran the BMO marathon, the half marathon, about 2 months ago. Now I have a picture that just show you that I did it. I'm not lying to you. See, I did it right there. I love this photo of me as I'm suffering Is this a half marathon? I'm finishing through the finish line there, and the lady beside me is like, yeah, I have so much energy right now as she's finishing strong, and I'm like, I'm suffering all the way through. But some of you have done the full, and you're like looking at me, hey, go do the real thing. The half is nothing. Go do the full marathon. I can't imagine, as I was running through that path there, I thought part of it was going to be through the seawall, but it was actually through the road of Stanley Park, which is undulating ups and downs, and I did not train for any hills at all. So I was suffering through it, and I was running through the last 16, 17K, half marathon is 21.1, and 16K, I was like, and I looked to my left, and I see the full marathon people running, and their mile markers, they're like 30, 31, and that was just demoralizing for me. I can't imagine people have done full, so if you've done it, all props to you. You know what was the hardest thing about this race? It wasn't the beginning of the race. It wasn't the start. I was so excited. I was stoked for this race. A friend of mine I trained with, he was like, I'll run with you the whole way through. You start at a community center at 33rd in Vancouver there, and as you turn 33rd in Cambie, which was really just 500 meters into the race, he's like, you're on your own. You go off, and I'm right on my own. I'm like, we just started, man. You left me. But it wasn't the hardest part right in the beginning, but it wasn't even halfway through. As I knew the 10-kilometer marker came, and I'm like, okay, we're halfway through. It was actually near the end of the race. It was around 16 kilometers, and my legs started cramping because I didn't train again for the hills. And I was seeing these people pass me one by one. And it wasn't just that. It was near the last 500 meters. They're like, 500 meters left. You got to finish strong. And as you make that corner into downtown, you see people from Skip the Dishes dressed up as pizzas and burgers. Just dancing around, like, yeah, you can do it. There's food for it. At the end, I was so hungry at that point. I swear I was hallucinating. I was hearing things. I had my headphones on. I swear I was hallucinating at that point. It wasn't, as I was seeing the finish line, that was really the hardest point. Because I was turning that corner with 500 meters left. No one was there to really greet me except for those pizza guys. It was really at the end there, at the finish line, where I saw my wife and my son, he's 4 years old, they're cheering for me and be like, Daddy, you can make it. And I could hear my son as he's running along, why is Daddy so slow? Like, you know, like, and I'm like, son, you understand, one day as I finish. And all he asked me was, can you get me some of those snacks? Because he couldn't go on the fence. But the hardest part of the race was the finish line. It was the second part, like the last 5 kilometers of the race as I was finishing to the end, that was the most difficult part. And doesn't the Bible say that our lives are a marathon of some sort, right? We're in a race. We're in a race called life. It's a marathon of sorts that we're to run and we're to go all out, and that at the end there's a prize that's going to wait for us, that Jesus is waiting. He's going to say, good and well done, servant. And we're going to see him in heaven and see him in his when his kingdom finally comes into fruition. But too many of us maybe have fallen off the track. We're falling off the race. Maybe it's you or some people that you know. Maybe it's people that have sat beside you once at church, but now you're still praying for them, hoping that they'll come back to the Lord. Some of us have taken the back seats and fallen to the back of the pack. And I know you've been going through a series, I believe it's called Letters to the Church, on Revelations, learning again and being reminded of what it means to be the church. What it means to run this marathon, what it means to go full tilt and full force to what Jesus has called you to do and what Jesus has called you to be. And I know if you have read the scriptures and you've heard Jesus speak and you understand this God that you want to be a force in the kingdom, that you want to be a leader, you want to finish strong. You don't want to be struggling like I was at the finish line. You want to lead others to Christ. You want your faith and you want others' faith to flourish and our lives to thrive in the way that God designed it to be. And how many of us here want the life that Jesus promised us? Right? Like, no one's like, well, I want to struggle through life. I want to wake up every day and not have a purpose, not have a sense of mission. No, I want to live my life for Christ and live the life that Jesus has promised us. No one ever starts off running a marathon or half marathon without the goal of finishing. No one ever starts off at the start line saying, hey, I'm not planning on finishing today. Can you imagine how weird that would be if I'm standing in the start line and I whisper to the person beside me, it's like, hey, I'm just here just to start and I'm going to quit. You know, I'm not planning on finishing today. You know, this is just for fun. I'm not really doing, there's no point to any of this. No one ever does that. You start with the race with the intentionality and the attitude to finish the race, to finish strong. And in today's passage, that's what Jesus is saying to us. That Jesus says, get ready, continue to be ready, and keep moving. Keep running this race that I have called you to run. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 35 to 40. If not, it's on the screen right in front of you. And Jesus says this, be dressed ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose masters finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we come together as one church family, as one body to worship you and to lift up your name. And Father, we thank you for your word that is open and that every time we open up your word that you speak to us. So Father, this morning, will you speak in unique and powerful and fresh ways? Father, this remind us of the race that you have called us to run. And may you strengthen us today, those who are weak. For those who are going strong, may we continue to trust in you and hold on to your hope and your vision that you've given us. And thank you, God, for this church family here that we can worship you together. So speak through me this morning, God. May it be words of truth and words of grace as we go on with the sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I read through the text here in Luke chapter 12, it seems pretty straightforward what Jesus is saying here. Always be ready. Always be ready. Always be on guard. Always be ready for what God is going to call you to do and what God's going to call you to be. And if I was reading, as I was reading this through the scripture, as you may have noticed, I'm reading through the NIV there, and maybe I didn't do such a good job of what Jesus was in the way that he said it, but can you hear the urgency in his voice like Jesus has? The urgency that he has, it's like the rally that the coach gives just before the championship game. The rally that he gives his team, this is it, guys. Be prepared, be ready. This is what you've been training for. This is the race that I've called you to run. And this is a big idea for today in this passage, that you stay ready. You stay ready by staying focused on your purpose. You stay ready in this race, in this life that God has called you to live by staying focused on your purpose, on the purpose that God has given you, on the purpose that God is calling you out to live. As I was saying before, when you start off with the marathon, with the race, it's easy in the beginning. It's easy just to get all excited, and as you're at the start line, you see all the pro racers stretching, and I'm like, well, I should probably stretch too, and you're excited, and you're like, I should go on, and this is going to be a great race, but it gets harder as the race goes on, right? It gets more difficult in the grind. But why is it so difficult? Not only a marathon, but in our lives. Why is it so difficult? As Jesus' words say today, I strongly believe it's really due to a lack of focus. Our minds start wondering. Am I running? I start hallucinating because I didn't eat enough in the morning. We lose focus. You lose focus of what God is calling you to do. And when you lack focus, you lack motivation and inspiration. And when you lack focus, you lack direction. When you lack focus, you lack a sense of purpose and why you are doing what you're doing. And we weren't created to wander, but to walk with Jesus. We're not created just to wander and be out on our own. And we live in a time when Jesus is with us. We weren't created to wander, but to walk with Jesus, because even in your wandering, Jesus is with you. Jesus is walking alongside you. Jesus is there cheering you on, spurring you on. And if you've probably heard me say already, that starting things is easy. It's finishing that's hard, and finishing's strong. And I've been to Ghana quite a few times now. Our church is involved with a mission there. And we serve this local village in Ghana, and that's That's my wife, Jessica, in the red. Is that red? Orange. orange t-shirt there. And anyone here be on a mission trip? Sivia, I know you're going on one in a little bit here. But on a mission trip, what is it? You're excited. There's a sense of purpose. You wake up and you know exactly what it is you're going to do. You wake up like, well, I'm going to go out to X, Y, and Z location, and what I'm going to do, proclaim the gospel. I'm going to share the story. I'm going to share God's story. I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to lead songs here. I'm going to lead games here. I'm going to lead a little training here. We know exactly what we're going to do. And you, for those that have been on this mission trip or served in capacities where you serve for a long duration of time, you have a tremendous sense of community, a tremendous sense of mission. You know exactly what it is that you do. You are focused. You've been training. You've been training and meeting up for 6 months. Sometimes you meet your team for the same week that you leave, but it's okay. You go and you have a sense of purpose. And why is it called a missions trip? You have a mission. There's a purpose to it. There's a goal to why you go. But here's the thing. Why is it so hard when you come back into Burnaby? Why is it so hard to live out your faith in the everyday when you go back to your campuses, when you go back to your workplace, when you go back into our cities? Why is it so difficult? And I urge, and I think, and I've experienced this myself, it's a lack of focus. It's a lack of mission. It's a lack of purpose where I come back, I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know where I'm supposed to focus my attention. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know who I'm supposed to talk to. And this lack of focus leads us to wander and to not live out to the full life that God has given us. Again, when you lack a sense of mission, you lack a sense of focus. So today I ask, what is your mission? What is your focus? What is your purpose? Why are you alive? Why has God created you? Because God doesn't make mistakes, and He has a purpose for each and every single one of you. And it's so easy at the beginning of our Christian faith. It's so easy. Everything is good. Life is good. Church is exciting. But as you go on in the faith, I'm not saying it's all downhill, but there are ups and downs for sure. And if you haven't trained for the hills, your calves will cramp. Spiritually speaking, your calves will cramp. As you go on in the faith, it gets a little bit more difficult. And if you aren't expecting that, if you didn't realize that, you're going to be in for a surprise. And do you know that the enemy, Satan, has tactics to distract you, to pull you away from the race, to pull you off track, to make you lose focus? Peter describes Satan in 1 Peter as a devil who he's prowling like what? A roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's the image that we get. That in every day, Satan's out to get you. He does it by getting at your passions. He does it by disrupting your relationships. He does it by trying to cause turmoil at church. He does it by trying to make you second guess your calling and what God is have you to do. God, he distracts you, confuses you, and he tries to mess up with your identity. Like he's saying that, hey, are you really a child of God? Are you really a follower of Christ? If you did this, are you really following him because you think that? Are you really a Christian? And he messes with us. And as Christians, we need to be ready. We need to be focused. Not to be paranoid that the devil prowls, you know, behind every door and I'm like, to be scared all the time. No, to be ready for what God has called you to do, to be focused and to have Christ in mind at all times. The question I have, another question I have for you is that if you knew that Jesus was coming today, what would you do? At this very moment, at 10:45, when the service ends, if Jesus is coming today, what would you do? Would you do anything differently? From the moment you woke up to now, would you relive that or change it up? Would you be a little bit more anxious that Jesus is coming today? How would you feel? And legend has it that the devout Francis of Assisi was approached one afternoon when he was gardening, and he was asked, Francis! He must have been on a first name basis there. Francis, if you knew that Christ was coming this very hour for your soul, what would you do? At this, Francis paused from his work, looked up at the man, and replied, I would finish my gardening. Francis could finish his gardening. Why? Because he had no regrets about how he lived out his commitment to Christ that day. He wouldn't do anything differently. Sure, he's not perfect, and I'm sure he made mistakes, and it's a little bit cheeky, that story. But there we hear, it's like, I will just finish what I'm doing, because every day, every moment, everything I'm doing, I'm ready to be used for God and for Christ, that everything I'm doing, I'm intentional with my time, with my actions, with my word. And the big question, the bottom line for us today, is how well are we living out our commitment to Jesus Christ in the everyday, in the every moment, from the moment you wake, from the moment that you sleep, every breath that you take, how well are we living out our commitment to Jesus Christ? And at the beginning of chapter 12 here in Luke, Jesus gives some warnings and some encouragements. He sets the stage for us to the scripture that we're about to read today. Remember, when we read scripture, you always need to read it in context. You need to understand in which you understand the words that it's that the passage is found in. Remember, Luke is written to who? It's to a man named Theophilus, or the one who loves God. Maybe it's a real person, or maybe it's to anyone that loves God. Though he will be speaking directly to someone to that name, maybe it's to you here today, that if you love God, if you want to follow him, these words are for you. And if you're not sure, if you're a newcomer here today and you're not sure, I want to urge you that this Christ, this Jesus is worth following, that this Jesus is worth loving. And we find ourselves here near the end of a bunch of teachings by Jesus as he's making his way to Jerusalem. And at the beginning of chapter 12, we read that there's a crowd that's so big that they're running over each other, that they're crushing one another. We read in the first section in 12:4, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. Jesus, he warns his disciples about hypocrisy. He warns them not to live a double life, that we shouldn't fear man, but we should fear God instead. Have this holy reverence for him. In other words, Jesus is saying, just be real, guys. Church, be real. Christian, be real. Cut the fake stuff out. Cut out the hypocritical stuff. Be open and vulnerable. Stop pretending. Live this life that I've called you to live, and be ready every day and to follow me. And Jesus goes on by telling the parable of the rich fool, which can be summarized in 12:15. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not, what, consist in an abundance of possessions. In other words, don't be pulled by the worldly possessions. Don't be distracted. Be ready. Be focused in on me and what I'm calling you to do and what I'm calling you to be. Don't be pulled away by the worldly possessions and pursuits, but pursue God instead. Pursue God in the everyday, because he is our ultimate treasure, because he is waiting for you at the finish line. Then he goes on to say the simple yet reassuring words, do not worry. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is what? More than food, and the body more than clothes. Do not worry, because I am with you. Do not fear, because I am your God. Don't worry. Do not be concerned, because I am walking beside you every step along the way, through the fire, through the pain, through the mountaintops, and through the valleys. I am there with you every step of the way. Do not worry. And we find ourselves in today's passage where Jesus says, be ready and stay ready. Stay ready as you have the end in mind, as you have the end in focus, as you have the goal of living out for me and for my kingdom in mind. Stay ready and stay focused. And you might be asking, well, how do we do it? How exactly do we achieve that, or what are some tips and pointers? I'm glad you're asking in that way. And I see Jesus really to the point here of what he reminds us. If you want to be ready, if you want to be focused, you want to live a life with purpose and passion and with a mission, prepare. In 12:35a, Jesus says this, be dressed ready for service. Be dressed ready. In the literal translation, it means to gird up your loins. You might have heard that before. That's what it means. Try to tell your kid that when you're getting ready in the morning. Gird up your loins as we're getting, you know, heading out into society, into the city. Gird up your loins. Back in the day, people wore robes, and it wasn't easy to get around in the robes because they had to lift up the robes to run around in. So Jesus is saying, gird up your loins. Pull up your robes. Be ready at all times. Don't wear your pants very low like some of you might be wearing. Be ready, right? You know some of those people that wear their waist all the way down to their knees. You can't run when you're wearing pants like that. Be ready. Be ready to run every single day. Prepare yourself. Prepare your minds. Prepare yourselves to run this race, to get ready to run this race and live this life for God. If you want to be ready, then you need to gird up your robes. Gird up your loins. Get ready. Prepare. In other words, always be ready. So much so that when it's time to act, you don't need to think about it. So much that you're ready. You're like, that's the voice of God right there. I can discern his voice because I've been prepared. I'm ready. I'm ready for action. So when he says go, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to miss this opportunity to glorify him. I'm not going to miss this opportunity to live for him. I think right here, be dressed ready, simply in these three words here, or there's one word in Greek, this cuts to the heart of the matter. Christianity is not a call towards passivity. Christianity is not a call towards passivity. Christianity is not a call to sit on the roadside, but to what? Come alongside. To come alongside Jesus. It's not to sit on the roadside and just to watch and be like, good job, everyone. There's a time to cheer. There's time to take a break for sure. But Jesus calls us to come alongside him. And when he says go, we go. When he says stop, we stop. And we follow him every single step of the way. Now, how can you be dressed and ready in the everyday? What is it going to take to be the church that has called us to be, to make the impact that we all want to make, to impact as many lives as possible in your schools, in your workplace, in your friendship circles? What is it going to take? And I urge you this morning that it simply starts with a choice to be prepared, to be ready, to say yes to Jesus. It starts with a choice. Every morning, think of this. Everything you do today, from the moment you wake, from when you sleep, think of this. Everything you do as kingdom work. Everything you do, it's counted as kingdom work. Prepare your mind for that. That today, whatever interaction I have, whatever conversation I have, whoever it is that I meet, whatever struggles that I have, whatever goes through my mind, everything I do, everything I think, everything I say, it is all part of kingdom work. Every morning when you wake up saying, Jesus, today is yours. If someone asks you what you're going to be doing today, even though you might not have plans, I know what I'm going to do. I'm living for Jesus. You might not answer in that way, but that's what you're thinking. That's what you're doing. I'm living for Jesus. That's what I'm doing today. Every interaction, every conversation, your job, the way you spend your time, the conversations you have in your family and with your kids, everything as kingdom work. See every moment as a ministry opportunity. When you're ready, you have to prepare yourself mentally and with your heart so that when the opportunity comes, you're ready to go. And you're thinking, Doug, isn't that a little bit much? To think of everything as kingdom work. Well, I want to encourage you, don't think so little of yourself, that God can use the little things. In the everyday, in the every moment that God is speaking to you, that kingdom change happens in those small moments that you think are insignificant. Embrace those moments. Live out your lives for the kingdom in the big and in the small. So first is to prepare ourselves. The second that Jesus urges us to do is to maintain, to sustain, and keep your lamps burning. So get ready, gird up your loins, and what? The second part is as servants waiting for their masters to return is to keep their lamps burning. And I've been watching a bit of golf and a bit of Wimbledon the other day, and there's this ad that keeps coming up over and over again. It's by Rolex. It keeps reminding me of things I can't afford. This Rolex ad keeps going, and it's always the guy in an accent, right? Because it's, sounds better when the guy has an accent. He says it this way. I'm not going to do it. It's in British accent. This is the story of perpetual excellence. This is the story of Rolex. I'm like, oh, man. Wow. That's amazing. It's a story of Rolex, but let me tell you the story of my bank account, and I'm not going to be able to afford that Rolex at all. But as I hear that, perpetual excellence. That's what I'm hearing Jesus say here. Keep your lamps burning every day. Maintain, sustain, keep going. Perpetual excellence. Keep going strong. Sharpen yourself. Refine yourself. Make yourself better every single day. Don't waste the time. Be perpetual in your excellence. You're to stay ready by having an attitude of perpetuation, a consistency, of maintenance, of sustaining yourself and your gifts and your crafts. Keep your lamps burning. Keep it burning. How do you keep lamps burning? If you've been camping, you have a lamp, right? You need a wick. You need the filament. You need to keep that going. If that's gone, then you know the lamp won't burn. But you also need gas. You need propane. You need to keep the lamp burning. You need to refresh yourself. You need to fuel yourself. You need to make sure there's enough gas in the tank. So what are some ways for you to keep your lamp burning every single day, every single week? By the way, I just thought about this. Here, for some of you youth, Jesus is saying here, stay lit. He says it, keep your lamps burning, stay lit, guys. Stay lit for Jesus. That's what he's saying here, stay lit, stay burning for me. What is it going to take for you to stay lit? What is it going to take for you to keep burning bright for the kingdom? What is it going to take for you to be the light of the world that Jesus has called you to be and to do? Maybe you stay in the light by staying in the Word every day. That truly this is the lamp unto my feet. That this is the Word that I need. That every single day I'll have a little bit of time with Jesus through the Word. That's how I'm going to stay lit. That's how I'm going to stay alive for Jesus. That's how I'm going to stay burning if I stay in the Word. Maybe staying in the light, and you're going to keep burning by what? By staying in community. By joining small groups, by joining your community groups, by joining your fellowships, whatever model you have here, to stay in community because I need others to feel and to keep me going, to sharpen me, to encourage me. What happens when you take a coal out of the fire? Well, eventually it dies down. What happens when you, what is it going to take to light the coal again? Let's put it back in the fire. Maybe that's what you need, to stay in community. To stay in community, to stay on fire for God is to see other people that are on fire for God. That's why we come out here on Sundays. Yes, it's to worship God, but in the worship of God, we stay alive. And we come alive. That we're fueling, and we're being fueled by God because it was a tough week. And I got distracted by this and that, but today I'm here and I'm zoned in. And I'm here for Jesus. Maybe it's you're staying lit, you're staying in the light by using your gifts and you're sharpening that up. That God has given me the gift of speaking, of exhortation, the gifts of caring, the gifts of worship and music, the gifts of administration, whatever the gifts that you have, that's your way of staying sharp. And you're going to stay sharp by using those gifts that Jesus has given you. There's another word for that, and that's stewardship. That you're going to steward the gift that God has given you. That's your way of staying alive, of keeping your lamps burning every single day. So that when Jesus calls, all the way until he comes again, that every single day as he's calling me, I will be ready to be used by my master. Thirdly, and lastly, is the word expect. So to prepare, to maintain, but also to expect. It's like servants, what? Waiting for their master. Now what happens when you're waiting for something? Well, usually you're waiting for something because you're expecting it to arrive. You're expecting someone to arrive at the restaurant or to come out of their house. Or when you're waiting for the bus, you're expecting the bus to come. Sometimes not, you know, something irks us a little bit more with our transit. But you're waiting. When you wait, you expect. You're expecting something to happen. And every disappointment is due to an unmet expectation. You're disappointed because someone didn't arrive. Or what you expected to happen didn't happen. But Jesus here says, expect the master to come. Have the right expectations. I will come one day. And I'm coming every single day to show up and to be in your life. I'm here. Expect God to show up. Expect to wait as well. That God is going to test you and your patience. Expect it to be difficult. Expect Jesus to call you. But also expect that Jesus will one day return. Because anticipation and expectation are needed for us to remain alert. At the end of verse 36 there, it says this, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that Don't miss those two words. So that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Expect him to return. It's not if he comes, but when he comes. He will come back, and he is present. That he will come back for his church, and that he is doing something amazing. And what I love about this passage right here is that Jesus, the master, in this story here, he's away on a wedding banquet. He's away getting his bride. And I often think that right now in the in-between that Jesus is just out there doing something and just twiddling his thumbs, right? You know, Jesus is not doing anything. But no, Jesus is bringing his church back to him. That's what Jesus is doing at this moment. He's there, and he loves the very last, every soul here on earth. He wants everyone to come back to him. He's there calling the last sheep back into his church, saying, I am here, and I love you, and I want you to be here with me and in my kingdom. That's what Jesus is doing. But when he comes back and he's saying, hey, church, you do what you do. You love my people, and you do what I've called you to do. Are we ready? Or are we caught just waiting and not expecting Jesus to actually use us? Or not expecting Jesus to actually call us? Because what happens when we live as if Jesus isn't coming back or as if Jesus isn't calling us? I believe, and I've definitely sensed this in my own life, that if we don't expect him to act, then we're going to be idle. We're going to live out our lives idling. Remember, we stay ready by what? By staying focused on the purpose that we have. But when we don't have a purpose, or we don't understand our purpose, or we don't have a sense of mission, then deterioration marks the life of an idle disciple. And that's just downhill from there. So stay focused and listen to God and seek him out. Do whatever it takes for you to sharpen yourself and to stay a light for Jesus. And the world may be caught off guard by Jesus and what he is doing, but as disciples, as Christians, we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be surprised that God is acting. We shouldn't be surprised at the fact that Jesus is going to come back again. And for as Pastor Keith shared, like we have our second child at home, and we know that at 37 weeks you expect the child to come. Cohen came 2.5 weeks early, so our son came 2.5 weeks early. So when 37 weeks came, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. My backpack of Gatorade, you know, in there, some towels, which last time I used for myself because, you know, Jess didn't even need it. I was wiping my own sweat in the delivery room. I had my bag ready, had some change of clothes. I'm ready to go at 37 weeks. I had my car packed. That's exactly what's going to happen, right? When at the moment I get the call, my phone was on ring. I was always a little bit paranoid every time my phone vibrated. I'm like, oh, I'm like, you know, I'm distracted. I'm ready to go. I'm expecting Ryan to come. 37 weeks, she didn't come. I'm like, all right, well, the second child, our OB said, might come around the first time as their first child. Well, 2.5 weeks came, nothing happened. 2 weeks came, nothing happened. 1 week came, and she came 2 days before the due date. But people, I had a conversation with some seasoned parents in our family. It's like, yeah, it's a little bit like waiting for the second coming of Jesus, you know. You never know, but you got to be ready. And then they kind of walked off. I'm like, wow, that's so profound, you know, at that moment. Every single day I woke up, I was ready. Today could be the day that baby Ryan is going to come. Every single second, everywhere I went, I was expecting that phone call to come. For my phone to ring. I was ready. I was ready to go every single day. And I think in the kingdom of God, as Christians, every single day, we have to be ready with this urgency in our heart. That might not be the second coming, but God will call you to act and to move. But are we ready? Because Jesus is saying, stay focused, church. Focus on me and what I'm calling you to do. Stay focused and remember your mission, which is to love your neighbors, to love God and love the church. And don't forget to care for yourself, too. Live out this mission. Because the way we live out our lives today reveals what we anticipate about tomorrow. And if we don't expect Jesus to come now or tomorrow or to act, then we're just going to wait, idling. And I love this. So I'm coming to a close here. What happens when we're ready? As you read on in the passage, 37 onwards, 38 onwards, that we will be blessed. I'm not sure what it says in your whatever translation you have, but in the NIV here, it says, it will be good. It will be good if you're ready. It will be good if you're ready and opening the door for the master to come back. What happens when we're ready? We are blessed by it. We're blessed by Jesus. This word for it will be good is the same word that Jesus uses in the Beatitudes. Blessed. Blessed are you if you are ready. Why? Because if you're ready to act and you're ready to serve and you're ready to be used by God and for the kingdom, you are the one that's going to be blessed by it because you're going to experience who this Jesus is. You're going to experience the service that Jesus serves, how Jesus serves himself. You're going to experience how Jesus loves, that when you serve, that you will experience Jesus. And when you live out your calling, you will experience Jesus, just as in the way that Jesus has served and loved you. And that's amazing because our faith is salvation by grace through faith, so we don't need to earn it. But when we act upon it, we experience God for fully and truly who he is. I want to urge you that if you're not living out your purpose and the mission that God is calling you, you're missing a huge chunk of the joy that God has for you. That God has so much more and so much greater than you could ever imagine. And if you were at the youth camp, you know I like to use illustrations. I like to use object lessons. And I feel like God speaks through me in many different ways. And this picture hangs in our apartment. And I noticed it one day. You're like, what is that? I'm like, good question. It's our son when he drew this when he was 2 years old. He's four now. And he was explaining to me. He's like, Daddy, that's you. I'm like, okay, you know, I see it. I see it. And so I see this picture every day. It's hanging in our living room. And as I noticed, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. But I asked, and I saw, I'm like, hey, Jess, my wife. I'm like, hey, there was something else in this frame before. What was it? And she told me, it's like, oh, it was my university degree. I'm like, oh, interesting. It's my university degree. She's like, well, I'm still a nurse, but I don't really need it anymore. So I know I kind of just put it away, and I put up something in there that's more meaningful to me. That's what she said to me, and she kind of walked away. A lot of people do that. They say profound things to me, not knowing it, and walk away. And at that moment, I'm like, wow, that's so profound. It's so amazing. You had this picture frame of what you thought was once important to you that you live for those 4 or 5 years you're in school for, and you earn, and you're living it out now, and that's what you do. But you're like, you know what? That's important. That's still my role, and that's still my job and my calling. But I'm going to lay that all on the side now because I'm going to live my life for my family and for my kids, and I'm going to fill the frame of my life of what was once important with something else that I think is important. What's in your frame? If you were to have a picture hanging in your living room, I'm not judging your art, of your house or apartment, wherever it is you live, but what is in the frame of your life? Jesus is saying, stay focused, stay sharp, have a purpose. Is it the cross? Is it me? What is it? What's in this picture frame? Stay focused if you want to be used, because you will experience joy like no other. And church, that's the encouragement I have for you today. I believe God is calling you out and us out and me out on that the message that God has is not a message of condemnation, but a message of love and reconciliation. That it's never too late to come back to Jesus, to live out this life for him. No one is ever too far away, wanders too far away from God and his grace for you. So today, I'm going to encourage you, stay connected, stay focused. Be reminded the race that you have. Stay lit for Jesus. If you don't remember anything else, stay lit for Jesus, and you'll be blessed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder of your word today. That God, you love us enough to speak to us, to correct us, to reach out to us. Father, we pray for our lives, God, that we would be so focused on you, God, that you would be in the picture frame of our life, that Jesus, the cross, is at the focus and the center of our lives. Jesus, I thank you for BAC and for everyone that's here. Jesus, I pray that you would continue to use BAC to be a stronghold for you, a force for you, a place where your kingdom is and your kingdom moves into the places in this neighborhood, that everyone here, God, will experience your love and your grace, that Jesus, you would be the foundation, the cornerstone of your church here. Father, I pray that you will encourage us for those of us that have maybe fallen off the race a little bit, that you will speak to us here today. That feeling in our heart is not a feeling of condemnation, but of reconciliation, a call of you calling us back into a relationship with you. May you call us. And Father, for those that are going strong, that are focused, and are just tired, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen their legs, that you will gird them up, Father, that you will give them strength into every day to live out their purpose for you. Father, for everyone that comes into this church, may they experience your kingdom. May they experience your love, and may they know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and where you are, Father, that is the best place to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's time to worship God. Scattered in mercy, gathered
mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, 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 I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see.
Thank you so much that by your grace we can be refined. By your grace we can be made new, Lord Jesus. I thank you.